You're listening to CKMS 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web. This program is part of the Local Journalism Initiative and is funded by the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Government of Canada, and the CKMS Newsroom. You can access the recordings of this show on radiowaterloo.ca/news or on the National Local Journalism Initiative website. I'm your host, Ivan Angelovsky. Early September, the federal government announced investments of up to $221 million to help black-owned businesses in Canada. But even before that, black-owned businesses in Waterloo region have organized to help themselves. Mark Lafleur is co-founder and CEO of the Kitchener-based True Local, a company that connects people with local farmers and provides them with locally sourced meat products. After Black Lives Matter protests in Canada, True Local organized what they called an equal opportunity grant, giving $5,000 to select black-owned businesses. The idea, as Mark Lafleur says, was to equal the playing field.
Growing up, I was never like a straight-A student. You know, I failed a lot of my classes in high school. It wasn't until grade 11 that I realized if I ever wanted to play football that I had to go to university. And that was kind of the motivator for me in grade 11 and 12 to, you know, get my act together. And then ended up being able to do that. I graduated high school as an Ontario Scholar. Got into high school, kind of repeated the whole cycle. Didn't know what I wanted to do. Was there just for the social aspect of it. Really enjoyed, you know, being in a new city. Growing up in a small town, I think Cornwall's got about 60,000 people. You're kind of exposed to a lot of the same. So getting to the other side of Toronto was a big move for me. And like I said, you know, I went there. My degree's in health. Didn't end up doing a whole lot with that one. But I think going through the whole university experience is something that's super invaluable. But being at the University of Waterloo, it's unique because it's a school that has such a focus on business and entrepreneurship, and I don't think I would have gotten that same exposure if I wasn't at the University of Waterloo. So I definitely got to give a lot of the credit to being in that environment. True Local is actually my third startup. Back in 2012, when I was talking about, you know, being inspired by Snapchat, we actually built an instant messaging app called Tell, and that was my first foray into business. At the time, I had no business experience whatsoever, like at all. Like I had never even read a business book. I always felt like I had an okay eye for branding. I ended up getting a student job with Red Bull, and that introduced me to a lot of the different, I guess, just the power of a brand, which is something that a lot of people, I think, miss nowadays or use as a buzzword. But from there, once we heard that, you know, Snapchat got offered $3 billion, we just realized that, okay, you know, I can pour some time into this. So me and four of my roommates, actually, I guess it would have been three of my roommates and myself, we got together, put, you know, some of our OSAP money together. We figured if we could put, you know, a couple $1,000s together each, we'll be millionaires by the summer. We'll build an app, it'll be no problem. But obviously, that's not how it worked out at all. So Tell was the first failure that I went through, and looking back on it now, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if we hadn't gone through Tell. Right after Tell, I ended up getting a job as a door-to-door meat salesman. So I've got this interest in technology, my degree is in health, and somehow I'm selling meat door-to-door. So I couldn't really tell you how I fell into that. My buddy said that I talk really fast and I should give sales a shot, so I figured why not. So I was able to get a lot of experience and a lot of understanding with what was going on in the meat space, and that people were really looking for these types of products. You know, people want value-added meat products. They want locally raised. They want more of an understanding of where it's coming from. They want it delivered to their door. They want it to be convenient. And from there, I did that for about 4 years. And the whole idea was, you know, go door to door, set an appointment, and we'll deliver you a year's worth of meat at a time. You sign for it, you pay for it, and you get it all delivered. And I started looking at that, realizing, look, you know, e-com is really starting to take off. You're seeing use cases everywhere. Meal kits were just taking off. We're talking about companies that have raised hundreds of millions of dollars to deliver food to people's doors. I figured, look, I don't necessarily want to go into an overly saturated market. There's a lot of people doing meal kits really well, but what could we do that's a little bit different? So once again, this random knowledge of technology and this random knowledge of meat, figured why not use best practices from a lot of different industries. So we're talking about your traditional e-com. So understanding, you know, LTV, CAC ratios, things like that, understanding branding, like really, really basic stuff. We can take that and put it into this niche market. You look at SaaS, right? I think a lot of e-com businesses neglect onboarding. You know, people that are just focused on your typical marketing metrics, don't look at retention as a function of user onboarding, but SaaS really does, because you're going to get someone to commit to $3,000 to $4,000 worth of product. You're going to want to make sure they know how to use it. So I figured, you know what, why don't we take that? That's unique. We can take that and put it into this business. And even lead generation through real estate, you know, some of the best lead generators on the planet, private healthcare, plastic surgeons, real estate, they do an amazing job at collecting leads. So we figured, why not use all of these best practices from these different industries? Nothing's particularly innovative, but if we could do it and execute well in this niche market, then there might be a chance. And that's where truLOCAL came from. So, you know, like I mentioned before, truLOCAL, our biggest goal is that we want to give people easier access to value-added meat products. So the current iteration of the business is solving the consumer problem. And the consumer problem is that they don't have easy access to these products. Either got to go to the grocery store or they got to drive all the way out to the farm. And we always tell people that if you've got a farmer that you're already working with, keep doing that. That's the best thing you can be doing. But for those of you that don't, for the people that live in the cities or they just don't live around the farm, now you can go online and get that product delivered to your home. So that's been a focus for the first 2 years. Now moving into more of a technology play, we're actually going to be white labeling software to provide e-com solutions to the farmers directly. So instead of us acting as a marketplace, we're going to allow people to build their own websites, primarily farmers, producers, and butchers. So think Shopify, but specifically for farmers and producers. So that's what we've been working on for the past couple of years now. You know, Cornwall is predominantly white town. Luckily, I found an amazing group of friends and I went to a great high school. But in that high school, I was, you know, for my first year there, I was one of one black kid in that school, right? And then by the time I graduated, I was one of three. So, you know, as we talk about what's going on in the world and we talk about Black Lives Matter, you know, I'm so blessed and fortunate to be where I'm at today. You know, I know friends that are literally living in the trenches and people that are literally suffering on a day-to-day basis. I had a loving mom and a loving dad, you know, grew up with a single mother, and, you know, we didn't have a lot of money or anything, but we were well off considering what's going on out there right now. I definitely don't think I've ever gotten any help, you know, any extra help being black. I don't think I personally faced any really, really large barriers. I, once again, feeling fortunate for that, because like I said, I know so many people that do on a regular basis. And my job right now, and being in the position that we are with the business, is to try to act as a role model and try to inspire others. Because realistically right now, if you're young and black and you don't have a lot of money, like, what are you aspiring to? Most people are aspiring to be a rapper or a basketball player. And if that doesn't pan out, you don't aspire to anything else. There aren't enough black leaders. There aren't enough black CEOs that show these kids that, hey, you know, you're crafty, you're street smart, you understand it. You know, just because school might not be your number one thing, maybe you don't have access to amazing education, right? But you know how to live. Well, that's what plays very, very well in business. And I don't think a lot of black kids know that right now.
I'm Ivan Angelovski and you're listening to CKMS Radio. I'm talking with Mark LaFleur about issues black entrepreneurs are facing in Canada.
So yeah, I'm looking at myself as a CEO of truLOCAL. I never looked at myself as a black CEO, you know, or a black founder. I was just doing my thing. It wasn't really until what's been going on earlier this year with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and everything, and there's so many countless names, that I really had to start taking a look at the role that truLOCAL needed to play. And once again, it wasn't even until some of our team members brought it up to me and said, hey, like, what are we doing about this? And it kind of really clicked that I'm like, look, I'm finally fortunate enough to have a platform to start speaking on this. And, you know, we started seeing all of the outpour, people looking to support, but not really knowing what to do, right? So a lot of people were just donating here and there. And for us, there are already so many amazing people donating to a lot of great, amazing charities and causes that we felt that if we were going to do something, I really wanted to have that connection. Like, I wanted to watch, whether it be the time, the mentorship, the dollars go to work. I wanted it to be close to us. And once again, you know, with entrepreneurship, business is near and dear to my heart at this point. I felt it was really important to create these equal opportunity business grant to try and empower more black entrepreneurs and black founders. So what we did is we put $10,000 together to create two $5,000 grants for black-led businesses. And luckily, you know, one of our partner businesses, Shipper Bee, was able to match that with us because they were inspired by what we were doing. So it ended up being four different grants, totaling $20,000. I don't have the statistics off the top, but if you were to go Google right now, you know, the distribution of VC capital going to white founders, if you look at white founders, female founders, and then minority founders, you'll see that it's heavily skewed towards white male. I think it's the same thing when you talk about women in technology and you talk about, you know, women board directors. And it's one of those things where people argue, well, maybe there's just not as many people or maybe as many women looking to apply for these roles. Well, maybe there would be if there wasn't a systemic issue with them getting involved, right? And I feel like that's sort of a situation that we're dealing with right now. You know, there are going to be less founders of minority because they haven't even gotten to a position where they can start a business, let alone go and pitch these VCs. And for me, like I said, you know, I'm never, you know, I've lived a blessed life. I've never been a victim of a violent act of racism, but you see it, you know, here and there, you get a different look. Right. So for me, I always feel like I have to overdress. You know, when I go into a meeting, I have to because I know what they see when I walk in. I love to dress down. You know, like I'd love to be super casual. I think you look at it, you know, tech in Silicon Valley. Right. You look at, you know, any origin story, whether it be, you know, Brian Chesky from Airbnb or whether you look at Mark Zuckerberg or Jack Dorsey, any of these guys, very casual dressers. Right. I don't know if it's a fact, but I wouldn't feel comfortable entering a meeting that way. You know, I feel like I'd always have to overcompensate. I feel like whether it be a nice watch or being overly put together, I don't get to really just be myself. I have to immediately walk into a meeting and start establishing that, look, I am a business professional. I have a business acumen. You know, this is my third business. We've done some impressive things with this so far. I can sit at this table, you know, and that's something that I think that's, I don't think I'm the only one who feels that way. And it's never been a huge sort of I walked into a room and everyone was like, who is this guy sort of thing. It was just something inherently that I felt like I needed to do. And whether that's, you know, because of society or that's just a personal thing, I do think it's a bit of a problem for, once again, it's, you know, it's worked out okay for me, but I'm not here to talk about me necessarily when it comes to trying to make change, right? It's for all the other people out there who need these opportunities and need to feel comfortable going in these environments.
This is EKMS and I'm Ivan Angelovsky. You're listening to my conversation with Marc Lafleur, co-founder and CEO of TrueLocal, a Kitchener-based company that launched Equal Opportunity Grant, giving $5,000 to Black-owned businesses.
So for us, it was just about, hey, look, you know, there's already a systemic skew towards white male when it comes to funding businesses. I want to even the playing field. This is something that I wanted to put out there personally, and I think that it's to just help encourage more people either to start businesses or more people to understand that, hey, look, this is for you. This is tailored specifically for you. Please come and apply. So that was where it was about evening the playing field a little bit. I forget the exact date that we launched it, but we launched it for about 2 weeks and opened up applications to everybody. So all you had to do was submit a video. You can go ahead and put it on YouTube, make it private, and then send us the link, and we would go ahead, just, you know, us and our team would go through, and we wanted to give the grant to where we thought it was going to do the most good in the community, as well as, you know, a business that has a valid model. So we had over 100 applications come in, which was awesome to see. You know, lots of videos to go through, but each and every single one of them was worth seeing, and everybody had something amazing going on. And it was good to see the distribution of established businesses. So businesses that had already, you know, they're black led and they're ready to go. They've already raised a little bit of money. It was good to see the success. And on the flip side, people that were looking to start their businesses because of this, you know, and $5,000 can go a long way when you're an early stage founder, you know. And like I said, you know, back in 2012, we put $5,000 together to try to build an app. Well, if there's one person out there that might benefit from that, we wanted to do it. So we ended up choosing four winners, a range of businesses that we felt was going to have the biggest impact in the community. And it was really well received. You know, we would love to see something like that similar again next year. And then what we did on top of that is I think that education is very important. I think a lot of people are showing their support, and they were showing their support by being in the streets and reposting and all this. But it's one thing to have a rallying cry. It's another thing to have actionable information that you can use to either educate yourself or make change. So for us, it wasn't just about donating the money. We also wanted to educate. So we actually created the Black Lives Matter page, which once again was just to kind of try to educate people on what was going on. The problems in society. We put over, I think it was probably 30 different resources, books, TV shows, movies, documentaries that people could click on just to learn more about it. You know, for us, it's about letting people make their own opinions. It's about letting people educate themselves. And I think that we did a good job of doing that.
My name is Ivan Angelovsky, and you're listening to CKMS interview with Marc Lafleur, who launched Equal Opportunity Grant, aimed at Black-owned businesses, trying to help them overcome issues and challenges they're facing in Canada.
To be completely honest, I don't think a lot of them were speaking about the challenges that they were facing. I think a lot of them, and I think any entrepreneur will see this, if you're an entrepreneur that's got the hustle and that's got the grit, you don't talk about your challenges a lot. You know, you kind of take your challenges head on. You're very, you know, if you're the type of individual who thinks the world is fair and thinks that everything should be on an even playing field, it's very hard to get into business. And this is the opposite of that is the lives that these people live every single day, right? So whether they experience it or not, it's systemic. It's all around. It's just, it's stacked against them. So a lot of these people, not only are you a minority, you're also a business owner. You're not really the type of person to make excuses. And you're not trying to be like, hey, you know, this is why we're at where we're at today. So being completely honest, I don't think there was anybody that was saying, hey, you know, I need this money because I'm black and I can't make it happen. All of them were so resilient. All of them were just talking about how amazing their businesses were. And that was awesome to see. Like I said before, it was really impressive to see the level of success that a lot of these black-led businesses already had prior to even applying. I think entrepreneurship in the black community is a cure that we need. Anything that goes to empower, increase confidence, give people a creative outlet is beneficial. And I think that going into business, that's something that encompasses all of the above. When you go into business, like I said, it's a lonely journey. You go into business and it's you against the world. When you go into business, you get exactly what you put into it. I personally think the biggest change that could happen is they need to introduce it earlier in schools. I think that if younger people had access to, not funds, you know, and they should have access to funds too, but just mentors, just to show them that, hey, look, it doesn't have to be go to school, get to post-secondary, get a job. It can be, hey, if you don't like what you're learning in school or it doesn't work with you, right? Because school's a one size fits all sort of scenario. And if you don't fit in that mold, it's very difficult to succeed. So if you don't fit in that mold, but maybe you're a creative, maybe you're a tech guy, right? Maybe you can code better than anybody around you. Well, why are we forcing you to fit this mold that was created, you know, 70 or however many years ago? So for me, I feel like there's a lot of opportunity to introduce business and entrepreneurship to kids, especially minorities at an earlier age. You see it with sports. There's so many amazing sports programs that are targeted to minorities and at-risk youth. Why are there no business programs? And there are, and actually I probably shouldn't say that there are, but I think there needs to be more. I think that would be, if I had a wand and I could invest in any sort of initiative for minorities, for the black community, I would love to be getting more business knowledge, more business mentorship, more exposure, more co-ops, more anything to kids starting in high school, if not earlier. My journey's been very fortunate, and you know, when I tell my story, I always want to talk. I'm talking for everybody else who doesn't have a voice, because there are so many people that face so many disgusting things you wouldn't believe. I've heard a lot. You know, I got buddies that sell cars at dealerships that say that, hey, you know, when I try to engage with, you know, someone who's white, they just disregard me. They don't believe I'm trying to sell this car. I've talked to founders who have recently sold their businesses trying to go buy nice cars, saying that, you know, they can't get a test drive. And the next day, you know, a rich old white man walks in and it's, hey, you know, here's the champagne and here's the keys. I've talked to a lot of people in the funding space that talk about how, hey, look, you know, I pitched a similar business to somebody else. We know these founders and I, you know, I got passed over. It's out there, you know, it's out there. And that's just on the business side of it. Let's talk about like the physical side, people getting beaten, you know, people getting ridiculed. And that's something that's very prevalent as well. I think on the business side of it, you see more of, it's not even that it's hidden. It's just, you don't see the physical side of it that you're used to seeing. Right. But I think it's equally as important, you know, to try to even that playing field and make it so that you're not hearing all these stories and make it so that it's not as, you know, hey, we have to feel incredibly dressed up to go in. And it's not to say that we want to go in, you know, not, you know, being professional. It's not about that. It's this underlying sense that you have to go above and beyond to beat the guy who has the same credentials than you. I think that's one of the biggest things.
This is CKMS and I'm Ivan Angelovski. I'm talking with Marco Fleur, CEO of Kitchener-based True Local, about the design of the recently announced federal program to help black-owned businesses.
I've heard about the federal program, the Black Entrepreneurship Program. I think it's great. I think it's amazing. There's a lot of talk. And from everybody, from every political group, from business owners, from, you know, protesters, all of this stuff. And really, it comes down to action. And when I see $221 million from the Canadian government going towards specifically black-led businesses, I think it's a great step in the right direction. From my understanding of it, they've broken it up into three different funds. So they've got the National Ecosystem Fund, they've got the Black Entrepreneurship Loan Fund, and then they've got the Black Entrepreneurship Knowledge Hub. And my understanding of it is that the National Ecosystem Fund is going to be money put together to actually go and identify businesses that could use this. They're going to look to connect them. It's just a great government program to assist businesses across the board that are black-led, just help them from business 101 all the way through to helping find them investment. then, you know, you've got the loan program, which is obviously beneficial. If you've got $25,000 to $250,000 loans that are available exclusively to Black-led businesses, I feel a lot better walking into a bank thinking I might walk out with a loan, knowing that at least there's a small portion carved out. And when we talk about the loan market, you know, I'm very happy that $221 million is put towards Black businesses exclusively. But when we talk about, you know, I think $120 million of that or so is dedicated to the Black Entrepreneurship Loan Program, it's still a drop in the bucket compared to the amount of the loan market. But I am very happy to see that now I can walk in there and know that, hey, look, you know what? At least I can get a meeting. At least I'm not going to be taken seriously. And at least there is a small portion of that's dedicated specifically to us. And then the Knowledge Hub, I think, is great too, because one of the biggest things that you know, I've been hearing a lot of and researching is that there's not a lot of good reporting on what's going on in Canada. And you see a lot of it, right? And a lot of people took a lot of heat saying, oh, that's an American problem. It's not a problem here in Canada. Of course, it's a problem here in Canada. And then people point to statistics, and I'm glad that you started looking at it. Well, maybe this is underreported. Maybe we're not reporting on it enough. So I do think it's going to make a difference. I think it's a great step in the right direction. Once again, it's Canada, you know, putting its actions where its mouth is. So I'm happy to see that. I don't think money's going to solve, you know, injustice and racism and, you know, people being shot in their homes. I think it's a step in the right direction. I think that it's similar to what happened with the protests, right? You know, you see this with Rodney King back in the day. People get mad for a little while and then it fizzles out and it rears its ugly head again 20 years later. I think there needs to be a lot more that has to happen on every single level. From just the social level to the government level to business, there's a lot that needs to happen. I think that putting money into the equation will help in terms of showing that Canada is willing to take this seriously. I think it's also going to help a lot of the people that are directly affected by this money. I think if you're an individual who either gets some sort of mentorship or a placement or access to resources through the ecosystem program, I think if you're an individual who's able to qualify for one of these loans, I think if you are contributing to the statistics, I think that's amazing. But once again, what about, it's not just about the business, right? It's not just about Black-owned businesses. You know, it's a lot deeper than that. It's about making sure that everyone has an equal opportunity when they start off. And my biggest thing when it comes to equal opportunity, you know, I built a business, you know, and we're entrepreneurs. And, you know, it's the focus on, you know, you want to work and put that extra effort in, but life isn't always fair. I don't think life should be fair after a certain period of time. The decisions you make in life are going to make a difference. But when you're born, if you're born in a situation where you literally have a massive, massive disadvantage, regardless of whatever you do, I don't think that's fair. And I don't know how to fix that. I think that's a long generational journey that we need to take. But once again, I do think that this is something that'll help make a bit of a difference to the small subset of Black entrepreneurs who felt like they were not having access to the same resources as their white counterparts.
This is CKMS and I'm Ivan Angelovsky. I'm talking with Mark LaFleur, Kitchener-based Black entrepreneur, about what local governments could do to help Black-owned businesses in the region.
I'm not a politician, so I don't know the ins and outs of how the municipal versus the provincial versus the federal government work. Yeah, I would assume if the federal government was able to put this program together, I don't know, did that take approval from the provincial governments? Did they contribute to this or not? If the provincial governments, if this is just a federal thing and the provincial governments haven't done anything, I think that's very unfortunate. I don't know if that's the case. So I'd have to research that a little bit more and get a better understanding of it. But at the very least, I would love to see some sort of similar programs, obviously scaled proportionately. If you've got $221 million coming from the federal government, you're not going to expect that from a provincial or municipal government, but just anything. You know, even, you know, there's a program going on right now. I love seeing other Black-owned businesses taking care of Black people. And, you know, the boxing gym that I go to was doing a program, SidFit, was doing a program for at-risk youth. And it was literally just, donating and giving them boxing wraps, bags, skipping rope, and then allowing them to tune into sessions virtually. That goes a long way, and it's not very expensive. You know, I don't think it takes a whole lot to show that people are listening and that there's change involved. It's great to see such a, you know, a massive donation from the government. But if there are things that the provincial guys, the municipal guys can do just to, you know, try to keep kids off the street, give them access. If they're in a, if you know you're in a more of a violent neighborhood, you know, and it's got more minorities there, you know, why isn't there an opportunity to do something right now with what's going on with COVID? Everyone's at home. You can do some sort of video programs. You can do some sort of extra video learning. There's a lot of things that could be done, I think. If we were in a position 2 years ago, there's no way we could have done what we did. I'd like to think that what the federal government has done is the step in the right direction. You look at, we're working at a community tech here right now, right? And they have the Fierce Founders Program, which is exclusively for women. And I would assume that that has, you know, a connection to the WEC. I forget the Women's Entrepreneurship Program. I forget exactly what it's called, but they have a similar program primarily focused on women and trying to get them more involved in entrepreneurship. I'd be surprised if CommuniTech and other hubs didn't do something similar for minorities, especially as more of the data starts coming in. If any of this entrepreneurship program from the government has shown us, is that once again, underreporting is a big part of it. I think as we get more statistics and start showing that there is a, this is factual, this isn't someone speculating, there is a discrepancy here, I'd be surprised if we didn't see more of these sort of accelerator programs and startup programs focusing more on minorities, just giving them the opportunity.
I'm Ivan Angelovsky, and you're listening to CKMS interview with Mark LaFleur about the momentum for change created after the murder of George Floyd and other murders of black people across North America, and whether that momentum is actually fading.
Yeah, I feel like it's faded away, unfortunately. I think that's, you know, that was something that, you know, we're kind of talking about a little while. It just seems like the news cycles are very, you know, news is controlling quite a bit now, especially now with fake news coming out and you're looking at all this, you know, it seemed that COVID was the biggest thing in the world. And the protests started happening and COVID didn't exist anymore. Now the protests are dying down. Now COVID's the biggest thing in the media again. It's unfortunate. I do think it's died down. And I think it's a little unfortunate, too, because you're seeing a lot more cases of police brutality in the U.S. and injustice. And I think it's unfortunate that it's not in the front and center a little bit more. You're starting to see some better news come out about it once again with, you know, the Canadian, the Black Entrepreneurship Program. But yeah, I do unfortunately think it's died down, and I don't necessarily know what to do to bring it back in. You know, does it take a high profile murder to bring this back to the spotlight every single time? Is it not? You know, I think there needs to be more coverage about this program, and I don't think there has been. You know, I saw exciting news about it for like a day, and then no one really talking about it. You know, this was something that I wanted to share on my social platforms. Like I said, the whole education piece. So I do think it's died down a little bit. I'm glad that, you know, once again looking at it, this is something that's come out of it, but still got a long way to go.
You've been listening to CKMS 102.7 FM interview with Mark LaFleur, co-founder and CEO of Kitchener-based True Local, company that connects people with local farmers and provides them with locally sourced meat products. LaFleur, along with his partners, organized Equal Opportunity Grant, giving $5,000 to select black-owned businesses. You can check out the archived versions of this program and other episodes on radiowaterloo.ca/news. You can follow us on Twitter at Radio Waterloo, and you can email news@radiowaterloo.ca to get in touch with comments or ideas about stories to cover. The music was Black Room by Moby, courtesy of MobyGratis.com. My name is Ivan Angelovsky, and I was your host for this program.